Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wills Wienerker, and no guest.
No, never guests. Yes. I mean, Ari Gleicher, the Bears guy, really wants to come on and be a guest. Will you allow...
Gleicher.
Will you allow him to come on for the Bears? He wants to come on.
Yeah, Ari's always entertaining.
Okay. But he may be our only guest.
Oh, wow. That's quite an honor.
No,
what about
I mean,
Jerry
maybe.
Chester? Does Jerry Chester get to come back out for the Vikings?
Yeah, if he wants to. I mean, we didn't have him last year, right? I think we had him a few years ago. You had some YouTube guy last year, I think.
Yeah, so 2 years ago we had Jerry. Last year we had Funky Dunkelman, who is a phenomenal editor of YouTube videos. Not such a great guest for a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he's listening now. And you're
sorry, Funky. No, okay. But I mean, his videos are amazing. So stay in your lane.
All right. Arizona Cardinals. Always tough with a team with a rookie
speak
QB.
About bad guests. Remember that Cardinals guest we had 1 year?
That was great. The British guy? He was the best guest we ever had.
No, not him, but he was also terrible. No, the obnoxious guy.
An obnoxious Cardinals guy? I thought it was the British guy.
No, he was a guy. He wouldn't give his real name. He had like some YouTube account, which had like 6 followers, which he thought was really big.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we had some real bad ones.
We had him 2 years in a row, because then the next year he got in a fight with the other NFC West guys and like pissed them all off. And...
Oh, right. I forgot that your debacle when we had 4 people on at once. That was Chester's.
Although Rob proposed that on your app last week. He said, why don't you do that?
That we should do 4. Well, Rob, doesn't think each team needs its own podcast. But no one's forcing anyone
divisional
to listen.
Podcasts. I'm like, yeah,
no one's forcing anyone to listen to these. And I think we found the niche, which is just short 32 minute ones. Problem is, I keep not getting the fish. It's not scripted. Like, I don't know what time it is. Chester just explodes the podcast on me while I'm trying to finish the story. Yeah. Anyway, not much I could do. All right. New quarterback, new coach. So it's a tough team to really evaluate. Clint Kingsbury, like 7 months ago, was the offensive coordinator for a mediocre Pac-12 team.
Yes.
And somehow he became the head coach and offensive coordinator for an NFL team.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy. And teams were fighting over him. The Jets also wanted him. Like, it helps to be very good looking, as we were maybe saying yesterday. Like, Cliff Kingsbury, he once dated Paris Hilton. People forget that. And now he is the head coach. The buck stops with him for the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals last year, historically bad pass blocking. Okay? So they bring in Kyler Murray, a 5'10" quarterback. I will say, Chester, people are talking about, like, will Murray be able to see over them? Is it going to be an issue that he's shorter than Breeze and Wilson? He's the shortest, sort of big, high-profile QB of all time. Or at least this era. I don't know if there's ever been a shorter one. And also people thought he was, like, 5'7", and somehow he graded out of 5'10". But because he's a smaller guy, if they have a bad offensive line, which, spoiler alert, they do, he's going to take a beating. And even if he's not a crazy, running quarterback, and he was, Mariota style, who takes a beating, it's a big deal for a smaller guy to get demolished by the J.J. Watts of the world, right?
Yeah, I'm very confused by the whole Kyler Murray narrative, which was a year ago he was going to go play baseball because he was a good college quarterback, but definitely wasn't going to make it in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And then he had a phenomenal season.
Right. And even though during a lot of the season, people were like, well, it's a system thing because... Baker Mayfield did it. It's one of these things where when Cliff Kingsbury was at Texas Tech, he put up better numbers than Kyler Murray did probably. But Graham Harrell did that too. Like every single Mike Leach quarterback did that back then for Texas Tech. But then Baker Mayfield, I think, started to play and people were like, oh, he's really good there too. And I think that really, if Mayfield was bad, I think Murray would have went in like the 3rd round.
Yeah, but then the next narrative was, all right, well, he's probably going to enter the NFL because he's going to be a first-round pick. And then the narrative was, well, there's really no good quarterback this year, but, because of the way the draft works and teams are desperate, so they overvalue quarterbacks, so he's probably going to go number one, but he's not a guy who would ever go number one in a normal year. And now fast forward to people are all of a sudden talking about, how he's already, an above-average quarterback.
Yeah, no, people are assuming, I would say his sort of, if we were doing preseason rankings and then comparing them to... not our rankings, but like the national media, the wisdom of the national media, and then comparing that to that of the last 10 years, I don't think there's ever been a rookie quarterback in the 2000s. There must be one that I can't think of who has a higher incoming, we assume he's going to be average or better already for his rookie season, right? People thought Baker would be good, but he didn't even start week one. So you can't count Baker Mayfield. I think people knew last year that Darnold, Rosen, and Allen would struggle. Do you ever remember that people assuming that the rookie QB in week one would be at least an NFL average QB?
I think that the hopes were kind of like that for Cam Newton. And didn't he have 400 yards in his first game?
Yeah, Cam is an interesting one. People thought that Cam could be incredible or it could be a huge flop.
Luck definitely was like that.
Remember, Cam had, yeah, Luck is the answer. Yeah, Luck people thought would be the best quarterback in the NFL by like week one. So I think Luck is a good answer. We're going to have a lot of fights about Luck when we get to the Colts because you hate Luck. by the way, we have to do a separate episode where we do our QB rankings some point in the next 2 weeks also.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do we need to do coach rankings? We usually do coach. I guess we could do coach rankings during the season.
We got to at least see these new coaches for a month.
Well,
and by see them, I mean, like, again, like, some of these coaches for these bad teams, like, by see them, I mean we'll have seen them for, like, 8 minutes worth of, you know, red zone. So yeah, we're not going to have a lot to judge them on. But
there's
right
also
now,
a lot of coaches with so little, you know, like Brian Flores on Miami, who are just
these
nothing to judge.
These guys just have no experience, so how do you judge them?
Yeah. All right, so their offensive line, DJ Humphries, J.R. Sweezy, you remember from Seattle, Justin Pugh from long time on the Giants, Mason Cole's the center, Marcus Gilbert's the right tackle. Last offseason, 218 pressures, 142 hurries, 34 sacks, 42 hits. They allowed pressure every 2.5 snaps. So if they had a first down, second down, and third down, the odds are that one of those three plays, Josh Rosen or Sam Bradford, and hopefully for the sake it was Josh Rosen, not the immobile Sam Bradford, was running for his life. Mason Cole's a rookie last year, so in theory he could get better. Sweezy is not a rookie and is bad. It could be really – I don't think they're going to be historically bad this year, but this is a – this has no upside. This is a below-average aging, for the most part, offensive line.
Yes.
So I don't know. This is a really bad spot.
But this is a
Kyler
team whose skill position guys are by far the best of any team we've discussed so far.
Okay, interesting. Interesting you say that. So receivers, I would put their receivers at, I'd say, slightly below average. But remember,
their receivers are below average. But the teams we've listed so far don't have an NFL receiver among them.
Okay, fine. The Bills don't really have one. The Giants might not even have anybody on the roster to suit up.
And Washington.
The Dolphins don't have anybody. Yeah. Okay, that's fair. I mean, the Bengals do. The Bengals definitely have at
least one. I mean, Christian
Kirk,
I think, is a legitimate weapon.
Yeah, Kirk's a weapon. Fitzgerald is at worst the wide receiver
old,
three.
But, you know, he's passable.
And
now,
I really like
Kevin
draft
White
picks.
From the Bears who got in.
Well, he's useless.
Never did
Kevin
anything.
White's useless. It's crazy
have,
that he got a second.
Right now, their starting slot receiver is a guy I've never heard of, Andy Isabella.
Yeah, so rookie. They picked a rookie in the second round, Andy Isabella, who all the advanced stat draft people like are praying to. Like he could end up being. He could have 70 catches this year.
By the way, his backup is a misspelled Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah, there's a Keyshawn with like K-E-S-H. Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
And they drafted a second wide receiver, which I assume they didn't want to, but they probably had this guy as a second rounder too, Akeem Butler, who fell over the fourth round. Pro Football Focus had the two best deep receivers in the country last year, and they got both of them. So
can we talk about something else for a second?
Yeah.
You never see in society people whose last name is a first name is a female first name. I guess it's like because of the patriarchy. But like there's a lot of male first names as last names. I have one, obviously. Yes. I mean, even I'm looking at this Cardinals starting offense. Murray, Kirk, Clay, Cole, Gilbert. Half of their starters have a male first name as a last name.
Okay, but Isabella, you're saying, is very unusual.
It's a rarity, and it's great.
So what should we have, like David Sophie?
Yeah.
And that's his name.
Yeah, I think there should be. Oh, by, and I'm looking at their
Bob
defense.
Jennifer.
Look at their defense. They have a Peter, a Gunther, a Baker. Well, but yeah, Baker can be a first name. Yeah, you really never see. You really never see a female first name as a last name. And I'm a big fan of it. So
what
I'm
going to
root
take.
For Andy Isabella.
Yeah, Andy Isabella. Their other receiver, Hakeem Stacey. Now, Stacey is actually the last name, so that's not good, right? There's Zach Stacey, the former Rams running back.
Oh, that's true. That's another example. Good job.
But I guess Stacey can be a male name also, so that doesn't count.
Yeah.
Whereas Isabella's, you know,
or there's names like Lindsay. Lindsay goes both ways. So.
Yeah, that's true. Lindsay goes both ways.
You could be a very masculine senator from South Carolina, or Lindsay was my wife's old middle name.
Your wife's old middle name? She changed her middle name?
Yeah.
You just said that like that's a normal thing.
That is a normal thing. I would say a majority of our, I mean, I don't know about majority, but a large chunk of our friends, that's what their wives do. They make their maiden name their middle name.
Oh, okay. So it's technically her middle name. She doesn't have four names.
No, her legal middle name is Gonick, and her legal last name is Chester. Her middle name for the first 25 years of her life was Lindsay, but
that's
there's no more Lindsay.
What the majority of people do.
I retracted the word majority immediately, but
yeah.
I
hear what you're saying. It's just a technical thing.
I feel like
would you say that she doesn't view herself as a Lindsay anymore?
No, not only does she not view herself as a Lindsay, but there became a movement when we got married. I don't have a middle name. And there became a movement among certain members of her family that I should take on Lindsay as a middle name.
Why wouldn't you just take on Gonick if you were going to do that and take on her?
Well,
her
I
maiden
think the
name.
Point is because Lindsay was getting lost to history and they wanted to keep Lindsay.
Why did Lindsay need to be kept in history? Who was a Lindsay? Was her great grandma Lindsay? I doubt it.
Well, I'd probably be a great grandfather because I don't think Lindsay was a female name until the 20th century.
That's crazy talk.
Yeah, and I don't think it was a name at all, but yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I think certainly if you go by Facebook now, I don't know if Facebook names are people's legal names, but on Facebook, most married women I know take their
name. I agree.
Yeah.
I don't know
if they're all doing it legally, but Jen did it legally.
Do think you should have to keep your maiden name for Facebook, just like so you could find you, because you won't remember like, oh, what's that? You don't know who they married always.
Well, just so you know, on Facebook, you can search someone by their, as a woman and as a man as well, you can enter a name on Facebook, but then you can have your maiden name, so it won't show up on like the top of your page, but it's searchable.
Well, if it's your old name, then Facebook makes you searchable. Yeah. So if your wife just switched to Jen Chester, but when she got Facebook, it said Jen Gonick, she would show up.
No, but also, or if, when you create a Facebook account, you can enter, a maiden name.
Well, because it's in the URL of your Facebook. So a lot of people, your wife could, in theory, be Jen.Gonick, and then you don't really change your, no one looks to change their URL, and then Jen Chester would be her name.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been fun with Facebook.
Yeah.
Oh, so David Johnson last year played receiver a lot because they didn't even pretend like they could run the ball because their offensive line was so bad.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned. David Johnson is turning 28 this season.
What?
There is definitely. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a
How
chance
is it
that
possible?
There's a chance that he's shot. I'm just telling you right now. There is a chance that David Johnson doesn't have anything left.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a bigger problem for their divisional opponents in Los Angeles, obviously, who have a lot more riding on. And who just gave him a big contract. I cannot believe David Johnson's 28 already.
Just gave who a big contract? What are you talking about?
It's about the Rams.
The Rams signed David Johnson?
No. Sorry, but also having an elite running back who might shot.
You're talking about Todd Gurley. Okay.
Yeah, same thing with
Le'Veon Bell, who's, I think, 27. But maybe 26. I'm not sure.
But listen,
not all 28s are equal.
Is that
Todd Gurley looked good last year.
Todd
Gurley looked good when he was, didn't have a mysterious illness that almost killed him.
I mean, Gurley was literally the best player in fantasy the entire season, and then in the playoffs was literally.
But David
worthless.
Johnson now has a year where he played three quarters of a game,
and
then a year where he averaged 3 yards a carry.
Yeah.
He still will age okay because he's such a good pass catcher. He's not going to be out of the NFL, but I don't think this is definitely the last time he's. You might get him in the fifth round of a fantasy draft next year.
Next year. Okay.
Yeah.
What are you in a two-person league?
Yeah, unless you're in a head-to-head league.
Yeah.
Well, there will be two people left in the leagues that we run at some point, right? By the way, we haven't mentioned that in a while. The Guillotine League, it might be closed at this point. It's already Thursday, right?
We are recording this on Tuesday, and we have around 40 people in it. So by Thursday, we might be done. I think the hard cap we set is 64.
Yeah, but the soft cap's probably 48 or something like that.
No, we can any number up to, because again, we can divide it by.
We're not doing more than four leagues, so the absolute max would be 64.
Yeah, and we can't have more than 16 people in a league, so 64 is the hard cap. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get back to the
because I don't really want
beautiful Arizona. All right, so let's get to the defense. So T. Sizzle still not done with the NFL. He comes to Arizona. I mean, a lot of people move there to retire.
Terrell Suggs is there, so their outside linebackers, Terrell Suggs and Chandler Jones. This was not a team with a good pass rush at all last year.
Yesterday we talked about a team with ancient running backs. This team just has ancient linebackers.
Yes. Chandler Jones did not have a great year last year. They need him to bounce back, so they got Suggs. Maybe they thought pressure coming on both sides will help. But this
Do you
is not
have Suggs as a Hall of Famer, or is that not something you're holding it with?
I'm not, it's a good question. Well, they have a Hall of Famer in their defense, right? I think we established Patrick Peterson is almost certainly going to be a Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah. Although he's suspended, he got that.
Yeah,
suspension.
We haven't got to the secondary yet, but he's missing the first six games this year.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but you could if you made a case, I wouldn't be.
So I have
it.
Him directly on my threshold. I have him number 12 or 13 all time among at his position, which is really really the cutoff.
Yeah.
So I could see it either way.
All right, interesting. Terrell McClain, Corey Peters, Hassan Reddick. All right, so they have a solid Jordan Hicks from the Eagles. They have a really solid front seven. The secondary is excellent. Patrick Peterson, he will not be there for 6 weeks. Byron Murphy, Robert Alford, who, if you remember, was atrocious last year for Atlanta, but does have a history of being good. Solid safeties and solid safety names with Buda Baker and DJ Swearinger Sr.
Yeah.
Now,
you like the name Swearinger. You're not even a fan of
Deadwood?
Yeah, Deadwood.
No, I watched some of Deadwood. I didn't watch all of it, but I like Deadwood.
Oh. Because if you like Deadwood, and here
swearing
I am,
again,
I love the show
again.
And I forgot the name of it for a second. Yeah,
yeah,
then the name has even more importance to you.
Yeah, a lot of importance. And think about how much importance it has for DJ Swearinger Jr., assuming he's a real person.
Yeah. Switch it.
I feel like a lot more seniors, young seniors now in sports than when we were kids.
Yeah. Well,
the only seniors
like
when we were kids were
Ken
Griffey Jr. Sr.
Yeah.
Right? Like, okay, like, yeah, because the junior's already there. There weren't a lot of young...
But it's only in football. You don't see it in any other sport.
Huh. I wonder why. Maybe they have a long offseason. They have more time to have kids.
I think these guys are proud to be dads.
Should you go by Chester Sr.? Do you think if Judaism had a tradition of you were allowed to name your kid...
Well, Sephardic Jews do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well...
Yeah. Certain groups.
Yeah. My friend was Yosef Chaim, and his dad was Chaim Yosef, and his grandfather was Yosef Chaim, and his great-grandfather was Chaim Yosef. Like, they flipped names. He's Sephardi.
Well, me and my dad actually have the same thing.
What's that?
Because I'm named after my father, so my father's name... Like,
you're named after your father?
I mean, because I'm named after my father's father.
Okay.
Right? So my father's name and my name, like when you get called up to the Torah, are exact reciprocals of each other.
Oh, okay. I got it. Yeah. I got it.
I mean, no. So I would
Alexander
never name
Harasha,
a son. I would never name a son after my name, Junior, ever.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that also. But every single guy I grew up with named their kid Akiva. It went from being a not popular name to a popular name.
Why put so much pressure on my son?
I think it was the opposite. I think people are like, well, this guy won't be around for long, so we may as well get in it now. We'll remember him.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's right.
Of course, I famously name all my kids after the winner of my fantasy league every year.
Mm-hmm.
So 1 year, Josh Harris won, so we named our son Harris.
Okay. Well, you should have like 7 kids named Chester because you posted a picture with wearing 5 championship rings. Does the winner of your fantasy league get a ring?
Well, some of them do. It's up to the team owner, just like in real leagues.
Oh, so the answer is no. You literally buy yourself a ring when you win a fantasy football league?
So, okay, the way it works in all leagues is the league provides a trophy, but the rings are up to the individual owners.
Okay, time out. Yeah. In most leagues, there is no trophy to start. I'd say 99%.
What a sad state of affairs.
Yeah, I'm in a league that has been going on almost as long as yours.
Some of my friends, they have championship belts.
We don't even
like
have
WWE
like a WhatsApp. We don't even
belts.
Have a WhatsApp group. I checked one of the leagues I'm in, the WhatsApp group. Yeah. A person who used to be in your league and now is the absentee commission in a league of mine.
Yeah. Heavy emphasis on the absentee.
Yeah, he that
although,
WhatsApp
have you
group.
Seen his beard lately?
No,
his
I haven't seen.
His beard
him.
Gives Ryan
him.
Fitzpatrick a run for his money.
I'm impressed, but I've not seen.
Yeah,
I think that league. So I scrolled up because people were like, "Hey, are we doing the league again?" Yesterday, they said, "Are we doing the league again?" The commission has not been in the WhatsApp group in a year, so I scrolled up like 5 seconds, and the last conversation was a trade veto that I think we discussed on this podcast.
In 2016.
It was just some. Yeah, no, in 2018. Somebody, and then the discussion before that was, are we doing the league again from 2018? So there was one conversation in the group WhatsApp last year, and it was literally the trade veto, and then probably scroll back to like 2017. Like, are we doing
very actively? Yeah.
So the league didn't even start. It's August. The commission has not shown up. It's August 13th, and every year I quit that league, and then they like, we only have 11, and they beg me to come back. But this year I'm going to hold firm. I'm not going to join that league. If I was really not a big wimp, I would have left the WhatsApp group.
Yeah, well, you should have left the league. I've been telling you that for a while.
No question. All right. But by the way, we didn't mention the tight end situation on the Cardinals is almost never good. They signed Charles Clay and Max with 2 X's Williams.
Yeah, from Minnesota.
I don't think they're going to play that
much. I think
he
was drafted by the Ravens in like the second or third round or something. And he was
the Cardinals drafted 2 receivers because Cliff Kingsbury's offense is going to use 4 receivers more than anybody else, and he's always going to have at least 3. So between Fitzgerald.
So we're going to see a lot of Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah,
and
Keyshawn
Andy
Johnson,
Isabella.
Butler, Isabella, Fitzgerald, and Kirk. Like all 5 of those guys are going to play.
Now, Kevin White, is he going to play or is he going to get injured?
I don't think he's going to make the team even. Like, Kevin White
really?
Stinks. No. I mean, I don't know what he did in the first preseason game or anything, but he's bad. Like, there's a reason why he's in year 5 and he has never done anything.
Well, he's been injured. Obviously. But by the way, they also have a great punter, Andy Lee.
Yeah.
We're usually a no special teams podcast.
Are we a no special teams podcast?
I don't know. You brought up the long snapper yesterday on the Bills episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Cardinals. I don't have much more to say about the Cardinals. Their only elite player really on the team is Patrick Peterson. I do think between Isabella and Akeem Butler, one of those receivers is going to break out. Give me your guess for Kyler Murray's rookie season statistics.
Well, I got to say, when I started doing my fantasy preparations last week, I was blown away to see the projections that people have for Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people have him like as like a top 12 fantasy quarterback. And also, by the way, these projections have him like throwing no interceptions. Is he like a tremendous decision maker?
No, he throws. He's going to throw a lot of interceptions.
Yeah. So I don't even want to make a guess here, but I want to hear what your guess is.
I do think he's going to. I think he's going to throw 25 touchdowns and 17 picks. They're going to throw a lot. He throws all day long.
Okay. And what about Redding?
I don't think anything special. I think pretty normal running quarterback numbers.
I mean, I would guess, and this is before looking at anything, but I would guess that there have not been more than three rookie quarterbacks in NFL history to throw 25 touchdown passes.
No, but I mean, didn't Dan Marino throw 48?
No, he played like half a season in 83.
Remember? Oh, okay, fine. Yeah, it was the second year. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think they're going to throw all day long. The problem is, I just, if I said over, under 14 and a half games, what would you take? I'm not sure.
By the way, I'm looking this up. The most touchdown passes for a rookie quarterback in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, Baker Mayfield threw 27 last year.
Yeah, and he didn't even play for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Baker Mayfield, he's going to be pretty good. I guess we'll talk about them when we get to the Browns. But the answer is, did I say that I don't think there's been more than three? There's been exactly three. So I was right. Baker Mayfield with 27, Peyton Manning and Russell Wilson with 26 each. Andrew Luck and Dak at 23.
Hmm.
And then we have to get back to Charlie Connerly in 1948.
By the way, I think people were on my Dak's going to suck bandwagon, especially yesterday after Dak reportedly turned down a $30 million deal.
Yeah, he wants 40.
Yeah. I mean, he might get 31. I don't think
So Kyler Murray, you think that he has 25 touchdowns, so he could break Baker Mayfield's record from last year. He's going to get close.
It's definitely possible. I just don't know if he's going to be able to stay healthy. He's going to get beat up. He's a tiny quarterback for a bad offensive line.
If he's throwing it that much, if he's dropping back that much, he's going to
be 650 dropbacks with a terrible offensive line, I agree.
Yeah. George Raderman had 22 touchdowns as a rookie in 1947. As a 21-year-old, by the way. Very impressive. Just look at my list here.
Classic Raderman.
Yeah, classic Raderman. All right, we're not even like, we're two-thirds of the way through this, so what else?
Oh, by the way, fun name also, Farrah Cooper is on this team.
Farrah?
Farrow. Paro.
Farrow. Farrow. Oh, Cooper. Okay.
All right, let's play the roster game.
Oh, man. Am I asking you?
No, I'm asking you.
Ugh, I'm not going to.
Oh, by the way, you said that you're like Andy Isabella because female first names are rarely last names. Vantarius Dora is a linebacker on this team.
Dora, as in the Explorer?
As in the Explorer.
Oh, okay.
So there are some last names here. Sterling Bailey, I guess that's mixed. I don't know. Yeah, we don't have. What are the rules? Do we have to be here for 32 minutes?
Well, I mean, so you didn't listen to it, but the Bengals episode, because we lost half your audio.
Yeah,
we only had like 16 usable minutes, so I really had to stretch it out.
Okay.
But the episode as posted was exactly 32.
Do you know? How about this? Let's play 20 questions. Do you know who the Cardinals defensive coordinator is?
I don't know any defensive coordinator.
Okay, fine. Now we're going to try
Ask
and figure it out.
October.
You're going to try and figure it out. Ask me questions, and you'll try and figure out their defensive coordinator.
Oh, this is going to be tough. All right, okay. Let me think here. Is it somebody who previously was a head coach?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I meant in the NFL, obviously. Okay.
Yeah, NFL coach, yes.
Oh, okay. So now it shouldn't be that ungettable. Is it somebody who was a head coach last year?
Yes. I thought it was going to take you like 14 questions.
A head coach last year got fired and is immediately the Cardinal. Oh. The coaches who got fired last year. Is it Vance Joseph?
Yes.
Three guesses. Wow.
That's crazy. I thought it was going to be 14. That's really good.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good.
We could do it with their offensive coordinator, but they don't have one. I believe it's Kingsbury.
Oh. I mean, why do you need to have a separate offensive coordinator when you have so much experience as a head coach?
How many defensive coordinators in the NFL do you think you could name?
Again, right now, zero. And by October, I think
You don't know the Vikings like defensive coordinator? It's the same one they've had.
Now you're embarrassing me.
Okay. How about
but,
this?
I mean, the Vikings defense coordinator doesn't really matter because.
How about this? I say the coordinator, you guess the team.
What's the point here? I don't know the coordinators.
Gus Bradley.
No, no, I don't want to do this because I'm embarrassing myself. I'm the host
Romeo
of
Crennel.
On the host of a football podcast.
Romeo Crennel. And people come here for my knowledge and for your hosting.
I'll have knowledge. I just don't have it in the early August when, mm-hmm. you know. But when we started this last week, I had zero interest or excitement about the NFL season. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to get a little bit more pumped up. So,
yeah, two teams. How about this? Two teams do not really have coordinators. Name them. Defensive coordinators.
Like the coach is
the defensive coordinator. That's a gettable question.
No, what I liked was
one of them's obvious.
Is Belichick one of them? Or
yes, Belichick's up. The other one's a little harder. Yeah.
I mean, again, so like I think Zimmer does all the play calls for the Vikings.
Yeah, but no, George Edwards is technically the defensive coordinator.
Oh yeah, George Edwards does nothing. I mean, I'm sure he does a lot, but you know, Zimmer's basically their defensive.
I think if you're a defensive coordinator for like 6 years, and also they worked together in the Cowboys in the 90s, like you are, like he's not getting a head coach job. You know what I mean? This is the peak.
Yeah, I'm sure he adds a lot of value to that team. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but Zimmer's
okay, fine, all right, fair.
Yeah.
The other one is Dan Quinn on the Falcons. They don't have a DC.
Oh, really? But their defense has been so elite. So
Paul Pasqualoni, one of like the worst coaches in college football history, is the Lions defensive coordinator. I'm shorting the Lions. That means they're going to suck.
Yeah.
I mean, they do have a defensive head coach, but he's not even a good defensive head coach in Patricia.
I mean, they were bad last year. So.
I think the Lions might be the worst team. How have we not even talked about them yet? They suck.
I don't know. I didn't make rankings. So
well,
you're the one who made the rankings.
I think you do have to break a tie for first and second, by the way, when we get there.
Excited.
I like when good players become defensive coordinators. So Ken Norton for the Seahawks, like he was a really good player.
Yeah.
Who are the other? That's really about it. Yeah, that's about it. Todd Bowles for the Bucks. What Steve Spagnuolo? What conference is he a coordinator in?
I don't think I've heard of him since he was on the Giants. So.
Okay. How about this? I'm just on Vance Joseph's wiki page, so I'm just asking questions from there. How many Broncos head coaches can you name in history?
Head coaches of the Broncos?
Yes, head coaches of the Denver Broncos.
From their entire history?
Yes.
Four, maybe?
They only have eight in our lifetime.
In our lifetime? Okay. Mm-hmm.
So far.
Okay, so I guess I'll work backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So Vic Fangio, obviously.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Vance Joseph, we just said.
Yes.
Okay. John Fox.
Okay. You missed one, but yes.
I missed one.
Yeah. Someone was very quick.
Oh, they won the Super Bowl with the guy from Houston.
Yeah.
Gary Kubiak.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so I got more than four because I got four and I haven't
got
to Mike Shanahan.
And you should be, if you really think about it, you should be able to get everybody.
All right. So Mike Shanahan and Dan Reeves.
Yeah.
And then. So that's six.
You're missing two guys who lasted 2 years, but they're both very famous.
What years?
93, 94. You might not remember him as the Broncos coach, but he's still coaching. And 09, 010 also.
The Broncos coach in 1993 is still coaching.
Yes.
There's no way that's possible.
I mean, why is it impossible? He could have been 12 years old then. Not only was he...
He's not a head coach.
He is... no, but he's still a coach. Not only was he the head coach, he was kind of an old... He was not a super young coach. He was like... There were
in 1993? So what is he now, 80? Who is he? The Mets pitching coach?
He's 72. Not that
72?
Bad.
72? Who? Who are you talking about?
Wade Phillips.
Oh, yeah. Wade Phillips is the coach of the Broncos. Oh, wasn't he the coach before Shanahan?
Yeah, we just said that.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
And then 09 and 010.
Someone else?
It was a memorable era. You certainly know this person. 10.
Was that Jay Cutler era?
It was.
Oh, yeah, I remember Jay Cutler and his coach did not like each other. Which is shocking because Cutler's so easy to get
such
along.
A nice guy, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he just wanted him to get vaccines and stuff. And
there's like Broncos fans yelling at their
it's easy. I think every football fan is yelling.
Really?
Maybe.
All right,
I don't
sorry.
Know.
Who is it?
Josh McDaniels.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew that. It's a hard thing to like pull off the cuff. I forgot Gary Kubiak and he won the freaking Super Bowl. So,
how many minutes are we at?
We're at like 29.
Oh boy!
All right, now I get to ask you something.
Oh boy! Three more minutes. Right. My family's
I'm on Wade Phillips's Wikipedia page. Okay.
Okay.
I want you to list me as many jobs as he has had in his career.
Do you want me to say the teams?
Yeah. Well, you can't just say coach.
Okay. I'm saying. Okay. You give me the years, and I'll tell you the team.
All right. Present.
Okay. He is the DC for the Bears.
No, the Rams.
The Rams, sorry.
Yeah, okay. 2015-16. I think it's easier for you to just guess teams rather than have to
guess. Yeah, okay, Broncos.
Yeah, he was on the Broncos then.
The Bills.
Bills, of course, yeah, head coach.
And
DC. By the way, Broncos, he was their coach in the 90s. He was their defense coordinator in the 90s. He was their defense coordinator in the for the Super Bowl. So he's had a lot of Broncos.
He's never been with the Jets. He's never – I don't think he's ever been with the Dolphins or the Patriots.
Correct.
Panthers?
No.
Never?
Nope.
The Raiders?
No.
Really?
But how almost every other team.
Yeah. The Chargers, yes.
Yeah, the Chargers, yes.
Not the Seahawks.
You forgot the other one this decade, which I thought would have been one of the easier ones.
Oh, well, but I might have just skipped over. When we said Denver.
Before Denver.
Okay.
He took off 2014, but where was he from 2011 to 2013?
Well, before he was in Buffalo in the previous decade. Where was he 2011 to 2013? Cleveland? No. Baltimore?
No, he was Houston.
Oh, Houston. Yeah, okay.
And Dallas. He was also the head coach in the Cowboys.
Yes, he was the head coach for the Cowboys.
Yeah. Falcons, he was both the DC and an interim head coach.
Nah.
And then we have to go back to the 80s, where he was a coach for the Eagles, the Saints, the Houston Oilers. And
I wish we had called this podcast 23 fans instead of 32. Maybe if we contracted like 9 NFL teams. Because some of these teams, like, we're in the middle. We're either, like, have plenty to talk about or we're really out of stuff to talk about. And I think the Cardinals.
Well, I have good news for you, and it comes in the shape of a bomb.